This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala nabiyyihil kareem. Alayhi afdalu salatu wa atamu taslim. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My brothers and my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So here we are on the 23rd day of this blessed month of Ramadan, the Hijri year of 1442, and it is Wednesday, May 5th, 2021. And alhamdulillah, today we'll be covering the 23rd juz of the Quran, and as I mentioned yesterday, we're starting off with, of course, Surah Yasin. Then we transition throughout the juz into Surah As-Saffat, Surah Sad, as well as Surah Az-Zumar. And one thing I actually didn't do in the last few years is focus on Surah Yasin itself, and so maybe that would be something we should do. And I was thinking of that today, that, you know, I know a lot of people like surah and want to listen to it, and they grow up reciting it. It's a surah that many people love and enjoy from the Quran. So let's take some lessons from it. I'll go to the beginning of the surah, which is actually the end of the 22nd juz. But again, it doesn't really matter if we're not sticking to a juz specifically, because the purpose of the class is to learn from the Quran and, of course, take lessons from that. We'll backtrack a little bit, a page and a half, not going to hurt us. So at the beginning of the surah, Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Yasin, wal Qur'anil Hakim, innaka minal mursaleen, ala siratin mustaqim. تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by taking an oath, right? والقرآن الحكيم, Yasin, which are of course حروف المقطعات, disjuncts that we don't know the meaning of, and the meaning is kept with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. والقرآن الحكيم, by the Quran, rich in wisdom, rich in wisdom. So there's a lot to learn from this Quran. A lot of time is needed to be spent with it, and I hope and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't just spend time with the Quran throughout the month of Ramadan, that we actually spend time with it outside of Ramadan. After Ramadan, we have Shawwal, right? We have Shawwal, then Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, and then Muharram, Safar, Rabi' al-Awwal, Rabi' al-Thani, Jamad al-Ula, Jamad al-Ukhra, Rajab, and Sha'ban once again. And so throughout the rest of the year, we hope and pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to continue to learn the Quran. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yasin wal Quran al-Hakim. So the Quran itself is rich in wisdom, right? Innaka lamina al-mursaleen. O Prophet, you are truly one of the messengers, right? Ala siratun mustaqim, upon the straight path. So we know very well, a command from Allah is something we are supposed to listen to and obey, right? We listen to and we obey, as we learned yesterday. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, we have to obey it, right? We don't have a choice in that. So he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is truly one of the chosen prophets, as in truly one of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's upon the straight path. Therefore, if we want to be upon the straight path, then we should follow the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لِتُنذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. So that you may warn a people whose forefathers were not warned and so are heedless, right? So their forefathers were not warned, as in the generations just before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, there's a gap of quite a few hundred years, 600 some odd years before the time of from the time of Isa alayhi salam to the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so there's a number of years where the people, the Quraysh of Mecca, right, those tribes that were there, of course, you know, they didn't receive any sort of revelation. They were not warned. They were not, you know, they were basically just living as they wished. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. The decree of torment has already been justified against most of them, for they will never believe. Right? They will never believe. This is something that we see in the past. How many nations came before that? How many times did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send prophets and messengers to nations, to tribes, to people, to lands, right? And warn the people that if you don't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you could be facing a punishment, right? So that warning came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiple times to many of the previous nations. Inna ja'alna fi a'naqihim aghlala fa hiya ila al-adqan fa hum muqmahun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is as if we had put shackles around their necks up to their chins, so that their ears are forced up, their heads are forced up. So it's as though there's shackles around their necks up to their chins, right? And as though they're sitting like this with the shackle, you know, it's tight around their necks like that, and their chin is being forced up, right? It's as though that's the case. But the reality is, it's the arrogance. Who are you to tell me what to do? Who do you think you are to come and tell me how to live my life? What do you think you're going to do? You know, come and bring this message to me? Who are you bringing this message, right? So it's as though their noses are up, arrogance, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And have placed a barrier before them and a barrier behind them and covered them all up so they fail to see the truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it's as though they're blinded from the front and they're blinded from the back. They just, the truth cannot penetrate through it, right? They're like, where's this truth? This truth, what are you talking about? There's no truth. And you try and go around behind them. No, there's a barrier there as well. So they're blocked completely and entirely. وَسَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. It is the same whether you warn them or not. They will never believe. إِنَّمَا تُنذِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرَ وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. You can only warn those who follow the reminder and are in awe of the most compassionate without seeing him, right? You can only warn those who actually are willing to accept the warning or willing to accept the message from the messengers. And they find amazement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in they are amazed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amazed by Allah's creation, right? The things around them remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So give them, فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. So give them good news, glad tidings of forgiveness and an honorable reward. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْسَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is certainly we who resurrect the dead and write what they send forth and what they leave behind. Everything is listed by us, perfect record. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ. Now Allah gets into more of the discussion in the surah. Okay, so the beginning was like a warning and statements, facts about the people and the ignorance of the people and how they would not accept and not, you know, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ. Give them example, O Prophet, of the residents of a town, أصحاب القرية, إذ جاء أهل المرسلون, when that town received messengers who came to them, they were sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first sort of story that is mentioned in this surah. إذ أرسلنا إليهم اثنين فكذبوهما فعززنا بثالث فقالوا إنا إليكم مرسلون. We sent them two messengers, but they rejected both of them. So we reinforced the two with a third. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a third messenger to those people. So there's not just two people who are maybe planning to do something together, or one person who's saying, hey, listen to me, I'm warning you, there's a problem with the way that we're living, this is dangerous, we need to be people who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to follow what is right and what is true, we need to stop committing crimes, we need to stop doing what's wrong. If it was just one person, we'd be like, yeah, okay, no problem. That person has no followers, right? And as beings, what do we see within us? We look at the online world, and subhanAllah, we focus on followers. Those who have more followers are the ones to be with. That's how beings think. Yesterday, subhanAllah, I was joking around with, you know, someone who I know very well, who works for one of the institutes. I won't say which one, right? So I was, you know, saying how we were talking about the online presence. Last year, we used to get a much larger online presence during the month of Ramadan. This year, it's a lot less. It's actually a lot less than last year. Last year, during one of the odd nights, I could easily calculate over 1,000 live viewers, or 1,000 views on the posts, you know, on all the multiple, live streams combined. This year, it's far less than that. Right, so we were talking about the difference between last year Ramadan and this year's Ramadan, the feel, the effect that we had last year and the difference this year and so on and so forth. Everyone is feeling a difference. Everyone feels like last year Ramadan was a little bit better than this year. At least that's the impression that I get from the majority of the people that I talk to. And so I expressed how I too have felt the fact that there's a lesser amount of people that log in, that attend the live stream sessions. And in fact, even if you just look at Instagram right now, right, the numbers on Instagram have dropped drastically from the beginning of the month to now. And they've dropped significantly from last year Ramadan to this year. While I have to be fair, they have increased on YouTube, right? They have increased a lot on YouTube, alhamdulillah. Now, when I said that, this brother was like, really? Because at their institute, he's like, their live sessions have, I think he said the attendance is three times more, either three or five times more. And I said, yeah, well, that's because you guys have lots of instructors and you put a lot of money into marketing and you're, you know, pushing it out there. You're plugging your online session. You're plugging these classes out there big time, right? So that people are aware of it. And you're basically stealing, you know, the viewership of the little guys, right? The masajid, the imams, the local imams, and so on. People are watching other things, big names. Why are they watching the big names? A lot of the time, they're not watching the big names because the big names are people who have more knowledge. It's because there's a lot of marketing, a lot of glitz and glamour, a lot of like pull that goes, like the pull factor is real. You see a poster, you're like, man, I need to attend this. This is awesome, right? And there's money that's gone into the marketing as well. And so an institute, just by its name, may not pull such a large amount of viewership. Whereas that imam locally in their you know, city or town or wherever they live, you know, would generally have a larger viewership. And so the brother goes, I had said, you know, there's a big name, you know, lots, a huge lineup, lots of different imams on your lineup, as opposed to just one, and also a lot of marketing has gone into it. So that's obvious that people are going to be watching more of, you know, what comes up on their feed, right? What pops up on their live, on their feed, whether it's on Instagram or Facebook and so on. And so the brother goes, well, if you can't beat them, then join them, right? If you can't beat them, join them. And it's not a competition. So, you know, what he meant by that is, well, maybe you shouldn't be doing your individual live stream. Maybe you should join our live stream where we are all live streaming there, right? And I was like, yeah, well, no. That's just not how it's going to work, right? And subhanAllah, you know, I joked around with him as well. I was like, well, last year you guys invited me three times. This year you didn't invite me at all. And he just went silent. I didn't get a response after that. So if you're watching, my good friend, my buddy, then you know that I'm talking about you, and you know that we're discussing our conversation last night. Alhamdulillah. So anyways, when we tie it back into what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, right, we sent them two messengers. Instead of just one messenger, Allah sent two messengers to those people, but they rejected both. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so we reinforced those two with a third messenger. He sent along a third messenger to join them, and they declared, we have indeed been sent to you as messengers. And the people responded to those messengers, you're only humans just like us. And the most compassionate, right? قَالُوا مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا وَمَا أَنْزَلَ الرَّحْمَنُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ. You're only humans like us, and the most compassion has not revealed anything. You are simply lying. The messengers responded to the people, said, our Lord knows that we have truly been sent to you, and our duty is only to deliver the message clearly, right? وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. So the people responded to the messengers, and they said, we definitely see you as a bad omen for us. Like, your bad luck, right? This term luck. I've taught you this before in our classes, and I'll say it again. Islamically, there's a thing as luck. I actually really don't like when imams use this word luck. Because as Muslims, we know very well, there's no such thing as luck. Something doesn't fall because of bad luck. It falls because of the qadr of Allah. So for example, you know, my watch, I put it up on my shelf a few days ago, and I went to get it the other day, and it fell right onto my glass desk. And I was like, ooh, subhanAllah, not good. And I started looking at the watch. I was like, alhamdulillah, it's still working, no scratches, nothing. Not too worried about the glass, because the glass is like tempered, mashallah. This glass is actually made to be the railing of a balcony on a high-rise condo building. This is a piece of the glass from that, right? So it's actually this glass from my dad, and I made the desk with my dad. We welded it together, alhamdulillah. And so I know this glass isn't going to break, but the watch might get damaged falling from the shelf. It falls because of the qadr of Allah. It's not bad luck. Or, you know, something happens, you're like, oh, good luck, right? Or you say good luck to people. No, there's no such thing as good luck. There is blessings from Allah. It is a blessing from Allah that something good happens to us. It is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when something bad comes our way. We sometimes think of something or consider the bad, the negative, to be something that is not good, right? And it's bad luck or bad qadr. But the reality is, we have to have some elements of bad or difficulty or hardship or negativity in our lives in order to appreciate the good. We were actually talking about this earlier today, subhanAllah, with, anyways, khair, I won't mention it. I went into prison today, so, you know, the discussion there was along the lines of the same topic, right? You have to be, for example, an inmate that is in solitary confinement, what we know as solitary confinement because of the movies, right? In Canada, we use the term segregation. So they're in a cell all by themselves. There's no windows, there's no one else in the cell with them. They're all by themselves in this cell. And sometimes there's nothing in it, just the, you know, a soft foam mattress, and that's it, nothing else in there with them. And then if you experience that for a long time, and you're transferred now from segregation, from, you know, that isolation, that cell all by yourself, to another cell that's a little bit wider, that has a small window so you could see outside. And maybe you're sharing the cell with someone else, and so you have someone to talk to. All of a sudden, you realize the importance of that previous cell. You don't like it, you don't want to go back to it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought upon that hardship so that we can experience difficulty in our lives in order to appreciate the goodness and the ease that comes to us afterwards, right? So once the ease comes around, we're like, oh, alhamdulillah, I have a window. Alhamdulillah, I have a bunk bed, right? Alhamdulillah, I have someone to talk to. Alhamdulillah, I have more space. I can stretch out, right? I can move my arms and do things. Alhamdulillah. We appreciate what Allah has blessed us with due to the hardships that we have to go through in life. So there's always going to be times of difficulty, right? So these messengers, you know, they tell their people, we've been sent by Allah. They say, you know what, you're a bad omen, right? You're a bad omen for us, as in your bad luck. If you don't desist, we will certainly stone you to death and you will be touched with a painful punishment from us. So they threaten these messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the messengers said, your bad omens lie within you, right? What you think is bad and negative is actually because of you, right? Are you saying this because you are reminded of the truth? In fact, you are a transgressing people. You're people who are, you know, breaking the limits, crossing the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those of you who are on my Instagram, say mashallah tabarakallah. Don't just talk about my thob. Say mashallah tabarakallah, right? Yes, it was her who picked out the trim. So those of you who aren't on Instagram, they're talking about my thobe. And then my wife is saying, I think she says she was the one, yes, in 2016, when you came for Umrah with me for the very first time in your life, you were the one that chose this thobe. Alhamdulillah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. And from the farthest end of the city, a man comes rushing, advising his people. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. He yells or screams or advises his people, not yelling and screaming, but he's like full of energy, advising his people. Oh my people, follow the messengers. Follow those who ask no reward of you and are rightly guided. And why should I not worship the one who has originated me and to whom you will be returned? You know, he's trying to convince his people, hey, pay attention to these messengers. They're not asking you for anything. They don't want anything in return, right? Listen to what they're saying. They're only asking you to come closer to Allah. The messengers are delivering a message that is pure from the Creator, right? And you will return to him anyways. How could I take besides him other gods whose intercession would not be of any benefit to me, nor could they save me if the most compassionate intended to harm me? Indeed, I would then be clearly astray if we disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inni amantu bi rabbikum fasma'un. I do believe in your Lord, so listen to me. He's trying to warn his people, tell his people, hey, listen to these three messengers that have been sent to you by Ar-Rahman, right? The most merciful, the compassionate one. Listen to them. They're not asking you to do anything wrong, anything bad, anything harmful, or anything difficult. All they want you to do is follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just worship him and worship him alone. And I believe in what you believe in. He's telling his people, so listen to me. قِيلَ دُخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ. But they killed him, right? What happened was they ended up killing him. And he was told by the angels, enter into paradise. He said, if only my people knew of how my Lord has forgiven me and made me one of the honorable. So they killed him, they took his life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قِيلَ دُخُنِ الْجَنَّةِ. He was told by the angels, enter into paradise. أُدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. قَال. And so he says, he responds and says, يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. If only my people knew of how my Lord has forgiven me and made me of the honorable. For what? For his submission to him. And then we begin the 23rd juz. وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ جُنْدٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ. We did not send any soldiers from the heavens against his people after his death, nor did we need to. All it took was one mighty blast and they were extinguished all at once. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them for their disobedience of the messengers, as in disobeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came to them through the messengers, and for killing the one person in their city that actually was telling them to follow the messengers and obey them. And that one person was granted paradise. We move on, insha'Allah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, أَلَمْ يَرَوْ كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ Have the deniers not considered how many people were destroyed before them who never came back to life once again? Remember, people used to think that they would be destroyed or they would live and die and then come back to life. They would be resurrected on this earth, as in they would have reincarnation, right? They would come back to this earth and they would live once again. وَإِن كُلُّ لَمَّا جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ Yet they will all be brought before us. They will stand before Allah. We as well will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we leave this world, right? And this world is super short and temporary. Really, when we think of it, we're like a speck in the midst of this long line of years. And we are just this one little speck on that timeline. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةُ أَحْيَيْنَاهَا وَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهَا حَبًّا فَمِنْهُ يَأْكُلُونَ There is a sign for them in the dead earth. We give it life, producing grain from it and them to eat. Grain from it for them to eat, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produces grain from this earth, right? From the seed that comes from the ground. And it is a blessing for us as human beings. We get to eat from it. And we've placed in it gardens of palm trees and grape vines and caused springs to gush forth in it, so that they may eat from its fruit, which they had no hand in making. Will they not then give thanks? You know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we had no hand in making, right? Of course, a farmer might sit there and go, but I planted these seeds. How did I have nothing to do with it? You can plant all the seeds you want, but you don't give it the command to grow. So you could plant millions and millions and millions of seeds, millions of buds, millions of little plants or sprouts, and not a single one of them actually grows. Because the command for them to grow comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we as human beings think we do the work, but we still rely on Allah. And that's the example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to us. You do your job, you work really hard, you plant the seeds, you cover the seeds with soil and earth, you water it, you remove the weeds, you wait for the rain, you allow the sun to shine on it, but you still are left at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have those seeds grow and to sprout, for the seed to split. فَالِقُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, He's the one who splits the seed. Or the pit, right? The date pit. Or, you know, the pit of a fruit. And He allows it to grow, to sprout out. So we can work really hard to try and plant millions and millions of seeds. But if not a single one is given the command to grow from Allah, it will not grow. Therefore, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so that they may eat from it, which they had no hand in making, will they not then give thanks? Right? Will they not then give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ My brothers and sisters, if that's the earth and that's the seeds that are planted and so on, what about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us? You know, the discussion on Instagram before about my thawb. Alhamdulillah, should we not give thanks to Allah? Allahumma inni ashkuruk. Right? Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that we have. Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ability to see and the ability to smell and the ability to taste. One of the number one complaints from people who have recovered from COVID-19, they say is, the difficulty in it is, aside from the breathing difficulties and the hardship and the pain in the body, the fact that you can't taste any food from before the major, you know, symptoms came on, and even afterwards, not being able to taste, not being able to smell. Imagine, you know, subhanAllah, I put some lotion on, I could smell it. I put some perfume on, I could smell it. Imagine you couldn't smell. If the thing that attracts you to your spouse is the smell of your spouse, hopefully we're referring to a good smell, right? A nice smell, a nice scent. If the thing that attracts you to your spouse is the scent that they wear, imagine you can't smell that scent. What's going to happen? Are we still going to be attracted to each other? Right? And you think of it this way, subhanAllah, you know, it's funny. Some of you are probably sitting there laughing. But that's the reality of it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to enjoy His blessings and His bounties and His mercies that He's created and placed for us on earth, and then He takes away one simple element of it, that out of all the food that is created and available for you to taste, you can't actually taste it. You can eat it, but you can't taste it. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Will they not then give thanks? Glory be to the one, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضِ وَمِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَمِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, glory be to the one who created all things in pairs, be it what the earth produces, their genders, or what they do not know. There is, of course, so much that we don't know of this world. So much that we don't know. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلُ نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارَ فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ. There is also a sign for them in the night, and we strip from it daylight. Then behold, they are in darkness. The night time is a blessing from Allah, and it contains a light vacuum. Right? The daytime, the light is there. At night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sucks the light away, as in the sun goes down, it sets, the moon comes up, and there's just a nice light glow, right? Which is like a reflection from the sunlight on around the horizon. A blessing. A blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are in darkness. The sun travels for its fixed term. That is the design of the Almighty, the Knowing. As for the moon, we have ordained precise phases for it until it ends up like an old curved palm stalk. Just the last part of the moon. Then the new moon comes, right? The new moon starts out and comes out and it's full. And then after it goes away and it's just this little piece. And then gone, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, you know, the moon, we've ordained precise phases for it until it ends up like an old curved palm stalk. It is not for the sun to catch up with the moon, nor does the night outrun the day. Each is traveling in an orbit of their own. Allahu Akbar. Absolutely amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَالشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرَ وَلَا اللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ وَكُلُّهُمْ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. I see Asad just joined. Assalamu alaikum, Asad. Hope you're doing well. Just thinking of being on an airplane, right? Imagine traveling, subhanAllah, travel. The amazing thing about being in the air, in an airplane, when you're traveling, and you're traveling with the sun, right? So for example, if you're traveling west, right? Rises in the east, sets in the west. So you're traveling with the sun. The day seems like it's never going to end. And you wonder to yourself, wait a second, I prayed like Dhuhr and Asr just a few hours ago, and it's still sunny out. How come the sun didn't set? Because you're traveling with it. Now you travel east, and what happens? Very quickly, The day just transitions over, day and night, day and night, day and night, just comes really quickly. If you fly from here to Australia, you'll notice that you might pray 3 prayers on the airplane. Maybe if you're going to combine, you might pray 5 prayers on the airplane. On the way back, because you're flying east, that is if you're going from Toronto to Australia over Vancouver, right? So you're flying west. If you're flying east, you'll see the complete opposite. You're going to end up praying about 10 prayers, at least 10 prayers on the way back. And you wonder to yourself, how is this possible? How is this happening? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it happen perfectly, and He says, it's not for the sun to catch up to the moon, nor does the night outrun the day. Everything is precisely planned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ. Another sign for them is that we carried their ancestors with Nuh alayhi salam in the fully loaded ark. Have we thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us from amongst those who were saved? Because really we were. Our parents, 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 parents. One of them was Nuh alayhi salam, possibly, or the people that were in the ship with him. And we were saved. Our people were saved. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, another sign for them is that we carried their ancestors in the fully loaded ark and created for them similar things to ride in. If we willed, we could have drowned them. Then no one would respond to their cries, nor would they be rescued, except by the mercy from us, except by mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allowing them enjoyment for a little while. Still, they turn away when it is said to them, beware of what is ahead of you in the hereafter and what is behind you of destroyed nations, so you may be shown mercy. Whenever a sign comes to them from their Lord, they turn away from it. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's a musibah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Right? There's no power and might except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 47 of Surah Yasin, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمَ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when it is said to them, donate, for has provided for you. The disbelievers say to the believers, why should we feed those who Allah could have fed if He wanted? Look at how this surah is really powerful, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when it is said to them, to human beings, but here specifically the non-believers, donate from what Allah has provided for you. We just finished learning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who makes the produce come out of the ground and allows us to benefit from it. And He is the one who provides that for us. He is the one who grants us our rizq. He is the one who gives us a job. He is the one who gives us the health and the wealth and the taste and the smells and the sounds and the sight and everything that we enjoy. And so Allah says, give from what I've blessed you with. Give from what I've blessed you with. What do we do as human beings? We turn around, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says the disbelievers, right? قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا أنطعم من لو يشاء الله أطعمه إن أنتم إلا في ضلال مبين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the non-believers, they turn and they say, why should we feed those who Allah could have fed if He wanted to? Allah fed us, so we enjoy the food He gave us. Allah chose not to feed them, well, that's their problem. Can you imagine what kind of mentality they had, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us here in our Quran, don't be like those. Don't feel as though you have, so you're entitled. And those who don't have, they're lesser humans. They're not as human as us, and they don't deserve. No, that's not the case. What we have came to us from Allah and belongs to Allah ultimately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He bought from us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He bought from the believers. our life and our wealth in exchange for Jannah, in exchange for paradise. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the non-believers would say, why should we feed those who Allah could have fed himself if he wanted to? You clearly are astray, right? As in, the Muslims are just lost. The believers are lost. You don't know what you're talking about. Just enjoy life. And so they ask the believers, Mata hadha al-wa'd? Right? Mata hadha al-wa'd? In kuntum sadiqeen. When is this threat going to come? Right? When is this punishment that you talk about? You claim that it's true. When is it? Right? مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَخِسِّمُونَ They must be awaiting a single blast, which will seize them while they are entrenched in worldly disputes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, they're asking once again. They're asking once again for what? Bring on the punishment. If we see that you're telling us the truth, then we're going to believe. But what they don't realize is, at that point in time, it's too late. It's too late. There's no time to believe after Allah has destroyed a nation. You don't come back and say, okay, now I'm going to be a believer. No, it's too late. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, is don't wait until it's too late. Don't delay things in life. Then they will not be able to last, to make a last will, nor can they return to their own people. The trumpet will be blown. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ The trumpet will be blown a second time. Then behold, they will rush from the graves to their Lord. They will be resurrected to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And they will stand before Allah and they will rush to Allah. Why? Because now they are going to cry out. What are they going to say? قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعْثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ They will cry, woe to us who has raised us up from this place of resting. They were in their graves and now all of a sudden they have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is this happening? What's going on? This must be what the Most Compassionate warned us of. And the messengers told the truth. Ah, but it's too late. It's too late. إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it will only take one blast. إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً It will only take one blast. Then at once, they will all be brought before us. On that day, فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ On that day, no soul will be wronged in the least, nor will you be rewarded except for what you used to do. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala start to talk about the people of paradise. إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاكِهُونَ هُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ فِي ظِلَالٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِّن رَّبٍّ رَّحِيمٍ So the people of paradise, indeed on that day, the residents of paradise will be busy enjoying themselves. They and their spouses will be in a cool shade, reclining on canopied couches. Allahu Akbar. They will be there having fruits and whatever they desire. لهم فيها فاكهة ولهم ما يدعون سلام قولا من رب الرحيم. And peace will be their greeting from their merciful Lord. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. What an amazing way to end our class today, right? Thinking of paradise, thinking of Allah, thinking of being reclined, right? Reclining and in the shade and enjoying yourself with your spouse next to you. Allahu Akbar, holding on to each other under the shade. What would you like to eat, dear? And you take it and you bring it. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And you just keep praising Allah over and over and over. Allahu Akbar. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala welcomes you. Salam. Qawlum min Rabbir Rahim. And remember, my brothers and sisters, when we hear this word salam, it's the word that links us to our Creator. As-salam. He's the owner of peace and mercy and tranquility and ease and safety and protection. And we say it to each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. Peace. Once again, Allahu Akbar. That night of Laylatul Qadr is a night of peace and tranquility. Try to be at peace at home. Try to be at peace with your family. Try to be at peace with your children. Try to enjoy that night, even if it's just a few minutes. Even if it's just a few minutes. Enjoy the peacefulness of the night. Salam. The believers greet each other with it. Allah is as-salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it about Laylatul Qadr. And also, and multiple times, right? So many different times. But also here, that day, the believers before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be reclining, enjoying themselves with their family, given glad tidings and a beautiful welcoming of tranquility and peace. Now you are protected and at ease. Relax. Jazakumullahu khayran wa barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma taqabbal minna fi hadha ash-shahr al-mubarak. Allahumma a'izz al-islam wa al-muslimin. اللهم بارك لنا في ديننا ودنيانا يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم تقبل صيامنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا وقراءتنا للقرآن يا رحمن ويا رحيم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the best of this dunya and the best of the akhirah, and to accept from all of our good deeds throughout this month of Ramadan, and to make us from amongst those who are granted complete pardoning. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعفو عنا. Complete and full pardoning of our sins. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins and to forbid us from Jahannam. Allahumma harrim wujuhana minan nar. Jazakallahu khayran for watching. Not watching, attending. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of us with the rewards of fasting these days of Ramadan. Ameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.